Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you so much for coming out on this rainy night. So last night we had started our seminar with Daniel 2, which is the longest Bible prophecy, and very exciting, showing how history proves that the Bible is true. We're going to continue tonight with the last part of that prophecy, which is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Tomorrow night, we're going to go over the doctrine of hell. We're going to answer some questions that a lot of us may have, give us some comfort. On Monday, we're going to go over the great controversy. Where did it all begin? How did sin enter this world? Did God create the devil? And then Tuesday night, we're going to go over what happens when we die. Okay? But tonight, the second coming, it is finished. We're going to do a quick review before we get into that. So the image in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream a great image. Head of gold, chest and arms of silver, stomach and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. He saw a stone cut out without hands strike the image at the feet, and the image was destroyed, and then this stone became a great mountain that filled the whole earth. So, who remembers last night what each section was, starting with the head of gold? Hey, Babylon, that's right. Next, the chest and arms of silver, which is Persia. The stomach and thighs of brass, Greece, legs of iron, Rome, feet of iron and clay, divided Rome, 10 different nations. And the stone that was cut out without hands that turned into a great mountain, the second coming of Jesus, which he will set up his kingdom, which will never be destroyed. So before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, I thank you again for bringing us all here safely this night as we go into your word and into this topic of the second coming. I ask that you please guide us and help us to just follow along, and please guide us with the Holy Spirit. I ask for your will to be done, and I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So, how do we know when Jesus will return? In Matthew 24, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and they go on to ask him in verse 3. Now as he sat on the mountain of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus goes on in verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." In the past 100 years, just in U.S. history, there has been a numerous amount of wars. World War I, you had about 20 million deaths. World War II, an estimated 50 million plus deaths, including all those in the concentration camps as well who fought in the war. Staggering numbers. You had the Korean War, estimated 1.2 million. Vietnam War, estimated 2.5 million. And it keeps going even until today. In Matthew 24:7, it says, "And there shall be famines." So additionally to these wars, there's going to be famines. Do we see that today? Absolutely. It says nearly 842 million people are suffering from hunger. 98% of people suffering from hunger live in developing countries. Hunger kills more people every year than AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis combined. Hunger causes the deaths of about 5 million children each year. About 17 million children are born underweight annually, the result of inadequate nutrition before and during pregnancy. So, as Jesus had predicted, we see these things happening more and more and more intense. We see a rise in the population and a downfall in the amount of farmers and produce being produced. I'm from New Jersey, which is called the Garden State. There used to be a lot of farms out there, but more and more the farmers are packing up their bags, selling their lands to developers where they're building malls, complexes, housing developments, and you're getting less and less farmland. Jesus goes on, and pestilences. New plagues of AIDS, malaria, pneumonia, tuberculosis, Ebola disease, syphilis, gonorrhea, and cholera. Are we seeing that today? Absolutely. More and more we're seeing new diseases, and unfortunately, even cancer is on the rise recently. Jesus goes on, and earthquakes in diverse places. In 2004, northern Sumatra had an earthquake of 9.1. In 2010, Chile had an earthquake of 8.8. And Japan in 2011, 9.0. Now, these are only three that I picked out of a long list of earthquakes that have been going on recently within the past 10 years. There have been plenty others within the 7.0 and 8.0 range, which are still just as devastating. Last December, I was able to go on a mission trip to Nepal with a bunch of friends of mine. We went out there to do an evangelistic series, and it was a great experience. This is the church, a lovely group of people. This was actually their classroom that we were in. But they were very faithful. They came out every night, and they were happy that we were there. This is the pastor of that little church and his daughter. As you can see, they're very short people. But we were standing in front of his visitor's home for any guests that come by. So I stayed there for about a week with them, and it was such a great and wonderful experience. You know, I got to eat with them, talk with them, and just spend time with them other than just preaching to them. This is the little kitchen next to the house where they would cook the meals, and I ate pretty good out there, I will say. They grew all their own food, so everything was fresh, and it was really nice. But on April 25th, 2015, they had an earthquake of an 8.1 magnitude, 8,857 dead in Nepal, and hundreds of thousands were left homeless because of this one earthquake. That's that little house. Got broken up. You could actually see the second floor. That's where my bedroom was. And that rubble on the bottom is, or was, the kitchen. And that was the room that I just showed you the picture of, where we were all sitting then. Very sad to see these pictures, but God preserved this little church. You see, the earthquake happened Sabbath morning while they were all worshiping. They were all gathered together in the church, and the earthquake happened, the church stood, and they were all saved. All of their homes were destroyed. If it happened at any other time, they may have been at home and they may have not have come out alive. So it's just amazing how God worked that out. Environmental pollution. The earth is not what it used to be. More and more, the more that we start to develop and build, the more we are destroying this planet. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah 51, verse 6, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment." Moral conditions at the end time. In Luke chapter 17, verse 28, it says, "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." in Jude verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful. So Christ goes on to say that Sodom and Gomorrah is an example of what is going to be like towards the end times. Do we see a rise in sexual immorality today? Absolutely. The business of pornography is through the roof and booming these days. You see sexual immorality between men and women, men and men, women and women, men and children, even women and children, and even human beings and animals. It's like there's nothing left that's taboo anymore. Things just keep getting worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3:2 says, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Long list, but do we see all these things happening? Right? I was watching the news and just seeing some of these kids just so disrespectful, not only to their teachers, but their parents, law enforcement. It doesn't matter who you are. They just don't care anymore. I mean, we had some of those kids in my day, but it seems like the majority now are on that side. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, you tell people that you want to go to the movies, they'll be like, yeah, let's go, can't wait. They buy their popcorn, they sit down, and they'll watch a three-hour movie. But then when it comes time to come to church, and the preacher's preaching a message, and he's going over 30 minutes, they're out cold. Can't stand it. Looking at their watch, tapping their toe. When's this guy going to end? Having a form of godliness but denying its power. So a lot more and more towards the end of time, you're going to see people claiming to be Christians but denying it in their works or in their lifestyles. So they'll say that they're a Christian, but you look at the way that they live and it's as if they never heard of who God is in their life. 2 Timothy 3:13, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." More and more, the closer we get to the end, there's going to be more and more people claiming to be Christians, preaching the word, so to speak, but leading people astray because they're just preaching what the people want to hear. If you look in Jeremiah, Jeremiah was given a message to give to the leaders, and they didn't like that message. They wanted to hear smooth things. They didn't want the straight truth. So it will be the closer we get to the end time. The gospel will go to the entire world. Matthew 24, verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." God will give every single individual an opportunity to know who he is and to make a decision to follow him. He will not rob anybody of that opportunity. So it has to go to all the world. And more, we are spreading our mission fields to parts of the world that we've never been to before, whether through radio or missionaries or whatever. But the gospel is going out. If we look in the book of Revelation, says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 6, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every tribe, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." Again, just reiterates, this gospel will go out to everybody. Nobody's going to be left to fend for themselves. All of these things coming together, more and more and more intense. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24, verse 33, "So you also, when ye see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say unto you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." So Jesus gives us these warnings to get us to be prepared. When we start seeing these things, something should be going off in our head like, oh, we got to wake up. Jesus is coming. False Christ and false prophets. Out of all the things that Jesus warns about in Matthew 24, this is the one thing he warns about the most. Matthew 24, verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." Verse 5. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." In verse 11. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Verse 23, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Do we have to be on guard for deception? Absolutely. More than anything in this chapter, Jesus warns about being deceived. So that's telling us the closer we get to Christ coming, the more deceptions are going to be out there to lead people astray. Whether it be false prophets or teachers or even people claiming to be Christ. He's saying to watch and be ready. "Behold, I have told you before." So he's warning us over and over again to be watchful and mindful of what is going on around us. Verse 26, "Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, says, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." So, those of you who have had kids before, or been around people who have had kids, when a woman is ready to give birth and she starts having contractions, what happens? They start getting more intense and more closer together. That's when you know she's ready to have the baby, right? So it will be with Christ's second coming. The more we see these things of this long list that Jesus gave us to look out for, the more that we see them, the more intense they start to get, the more closer together, the closer it is for Christ to come again. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." Christ is coming to take us out of this sin-stricken world. And we are looking forward to that. Amen? John chapter 14, verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Here, Christ gives us a comforting promise. He's going to back to his Father in heaven to prepare a place for us, and he said if he's going to do that, he will return. So how will Jesus return? Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So, our first clue says, Jesus is going to come through the clouds. And it says, every eye shall see him. Not some, not a little bit, not here or there, but every eye. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, speaking of Jesus, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So, here the disciples are watching Christ ascend back into heaven with a cloud. As he's going back, two angels appear before the disciples, and they tell him he's going to return in the same manner that he just left, in the clouds. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus starts out this chapter with a parable, talking about a sower sowing seeds. And then an enemy came and sowed tares. And then the both grew together, and they had one harvest. Jesus explains the meaning of this parable, starting in verse 37. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So, gives us a little bit more of insight. Jesus is not coming back by himself. The angels that are in heaven are coming with him. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Matthew 24, verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, I've only lived in Oklahoma a few months, a little bit more than a few months, but you guys have some crazy thunderstorms. And when that lightning strikes, it lights up the entire room. It doesn't matter if you're sleeping or not, you know that there's a storm outside. Jesus compares his second coming to lightning flashing across the sky. So you know if you're outside during a lightning storm, you know that there's lightning going on, right? So, when Christ comes, everybody is going to know that he is coming. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with heaven, the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So, it is a cataclysmic event that is going on when Christ returns. He doesn't return alone. It says that every eye sees him, and he sends his angels to gather the elect. So when will Jesus return? In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it says, For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. A lot of people interpret this as if it's a secret rapture. But we're going to take a look at what the Bible says right here. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, watch ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. What does that say? Nobody knows, right? Okay. Verse 42. Watch ye therefore, for ye do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, when the Bible talks about Christ's second coming as a thief in the night, it's not talking about it being a secret thing. It compares it to, all right, say if I was a thief, I would not knock on your door and give you a warning note, be like, okay, I'm going to show up at 3 a.m., just so you know. I'm going to show up when you don't know, because I want to break into your house and take whatever I want. I'm not going to give you a little bit of a warning or just tell a couple people. No, it's going to be a secret. You're not going to know when I'm coming. That's how it is going to be with the Lord's coming. Nobody knows the day or the hour. That's the secret, the timing. Oops. In Mark chapter 13, verse 32, it says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. The Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now, I've worked in the construction business a little bit, and I would get helpers from time to time, and I would give them their tasks to do. And those of you who've worked in construction know that you have jobs that need to be done in a timely manner. So I'm off doing my job. I'll delegate whatever I have to the helpers, but I'll come back randomly to see if they're doing their job. And sometimes I catch them just sitting around on their phone. But the point is, that's what it's going to be like in Christ's coming. He wants us to be prepared. He doesn't want us to be like, oh, well, I have time to get right with the Lord. I'll just do what I'm going to do now, and then when he gets close enough, then I'll start following him. That's not what he wants you to do, because nobody knows when he's coming. So he may come when you're still off doing your own thing and not ready for him. And then you'll be lost. He's warning all of us to be prepared and watch for the signs. Be ready. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Does that sound like it's something secret? Cataclysmic event when Jesus returns. Everything is going to be ceased. Oklahoma, a lot of OU fans here. Maybe some OSU. But you follow this team the whole season. Every game, rooting for your team to win. Finally, they win the championship. You're all excited. They have a parade. When they have this parade, they have the band out there. They have the confetti. People are cheering, excited, all for a hunk of metal. How much more do you think people are going to be excited for Jesus to return and looking forward to that? When the angels come, blowing their trumpets, when Christ comes, you know, with the voice of the archangel, it is going to be exciting. Nobody is going to be, you know, unaware of what is going on. So what will happen when Jesus returns? Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, I'm sure all of us have heard a trumpet being played before. It is not a quiet instrument. Even when you're trying to play it low, it's still pretty loud. When Jesus returns, the trumpets are going to be blaring. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Jesus returned with the voice of the archangel, saying, the dead are going to rise first. When Christ returns, those who went to sleep believing and waiting for his coming are going to be resurrected. And Jesus is going to resurrect them with his voice. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is very crucial, this one point. It says, we will be caught up to the Lord in the air. Jesus is not going to step foot on this earth when he comes back. That's why he sends his angels out. So, if you hear on the news, Jesus is walking around in Times Square, you know that it's not Jesus. Because the Bible tells us he's going to come in the clouds. He sends his angels to bring his elect up to him. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. When Christ returns, he brings his reward of eternal life with him. For everybody who is righteous to receive it at the same time. What a reunion that will be. Revelation 22:11, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his works. The reward of eternal life comes with the Savior in the second coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? All the righteous, when Christ comes and he resurrects those righteous dead and he sees those righteous living, they're all going to be changed. They're going to be given new bodies. Immortality. That is the gift of God. So, quick review. Christ's second coming. It's a visible event. Every eye shall see him, right? Jesus will not come back alone. His angels come with him. An audible event. Trump of God wakes the dead. The righteous living are caught up to meet Jesus. All of the saved will be changed at that moment. Brothers and sisters, time is running out. The more we see these signs coming about, getting closer together and more intense, the closer we are getting to Jesus' return. Matthew 24, 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus compares his second coming with the story of Noah and the ark. So let's take a look at that story. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Going to Genesis. Chapter 6, starting at verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Back to Matthew 24:12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, Jesus is not delaying it because he just doesn't feel like coming back. He's trying to have as many people saved as possible. Noah preached for a very long time, saying that there was a flood coming. The people didn't believe it. And it came to pass that it was time for Noah to go into the ark. So Noah, his three sons, their wives, went into the ark. The door was shut. 7 days later, the rain came and destroyed all of the people who denied it. Genesis 7:23. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. John 1:11. He, speaking of Jesus, came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So was it, Jesus compares his second coming to this tragic story. Because it's going to be just as tragic when Jesus comes again, because so many people are denying that Jesus will return or delaying giving their lives over to him because of the worldly pleasures. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Friends, like I said before, time is running out. We see the signs. They're getting closer and closer together. Things are getting worse and worse. But Jesus' promise still stands. He will return. We need to be ready. How many of you tonight want to be prepared for the Lord's coming? If you do, please stand up with me and we'll have a closing prayer. Our loving, gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the promises that you have given us. I can't thank you enough, Lord, and I ask that you may help us to be prepared and to watch and be ready. Please guide us with the Holy Spirit. Please continue to work with us. I ask that you may get us all home safely. I thank you and I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming out. Please come back tomorrow night. We're going to go over the doctrine of hellfire. We're going to look into it, what it's all about. You know, we're going to answer a lot of questions. So please come back tomorrow night. We're going to be here at 7 o'clock again. So hope you all get home safely, and we'll see you tomorrow.